We know that Washington State had approximately $1 billion defrauded from it due to problems with cybersecurity. Actually, it was more like Jay Inslee and his buddy Susie Levine took a bunch of safeguards off and then allowed scammers to take $1 billion from our unemployment division right when people needed it during COVID. Question is, how secure are our facilities now? Joining us now on the KVI studio line is Senator Matt Bahnke from Washington's 8th Legislative District. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Ari. Appreciate it. Glad to be a part of your team.
So, as I understand it, we had several hacks recently. I saw one with King County Sheriff's Office. There's one with the U.S. Department of Energy. We had several other federal agencies. How secure are we here in Washington?
Well, thanks. I believe it's a great question that needs to stay in the priority of everybody. The more we have big data and data is being utilized with these technologies, the cell phones, all the heads-up displays we have in our autonomous vehicles, and even our smart vehicles that we have today, it's collecting a lot of data. Our government needs to uphold those same high standards. And frankly, we're getting better, but we're not to quite the level we need to be. So frankly, you're seeing a lot of this with that move on vulnerability that's wiping across the nation. I mean, it's a global threat that's hitting the UK, India. We just got word today, UCLA got hit by it. And even the, I think Homeland Security has been hit as well. So we're doing our best to make sure we get those defense in depth measures in place, the critical systems in place to where if one fails, it can notify us. And to your listeners, we're looking at artificial intelligence to see if we can combat some of this.
Okay, you had me up until artificial intelligence, because isn't that how we, you know, started the whole Terminator thing? You know, we brought in Skynet to kill the virus in Terminator 3. And then the next thing you know, we found out Skynet is the virus. Is that something we should be concerned about?
There is a lot of concern with that. And even recently about the education levels of a lot of the Congress that was going through on C-SPAN, if you happen to follow the hearings of what artificial intelligence really is, what is ChatGPT, all that's kind of been hitting the headlines. And we are looking at what we can do to leverage a lot of those decision-making automated skills to help us do our work, but also have the human in the loop to make sure what that happens and when the results are there, are they accountable and they're transparent to people. So yeah, don't be too scared. My kids always say that, Dad, you're a state senator now. Don't start Skynet because we don't want people coming back, you know, from the future. And I don't know where Linda Hamilton is.
Well, if we have John Connor, we're fine. We're fine. I mean, Linda Hamilton doesn't even have to be around. We just need John Connor.
Exactly.
Sarah Connor doesn't have to survive. In all seriousness, though, I mean, I get these notices all the time. Your data has been compromised. Your passwords have been compromised. Do you think that Americans aren't taking it seriously because it happens all the time? And as long as they don't see weird things on their credit cards, they're okay?
I think it is. I think it's a numbing of our future and even the generation that's coming up. And my day job, I teach at a community college in cybersecurity, and even they are in the construct of my data is already out there. And the idea of they've already got it. I've been hit so many times. What's the big deal? And so you try to reemphasize the fact that it is a big deal, how they manipulate, they modify, and even get to the point where some of this targeted advertising are going into what we call predictive analysis. So they're getting into measuring things that they can predict your next move. And it starts getting into that line of balancing. What do we do to trust our government, even some of our agencies with the data that we have? What are they doing with it so we can educate and inform people, make them more aware of how important this really is? And when there's another breach, what are we doing to stop it and hold people accountable?
We're talking with Senator Matt Bahnke from Washington's 8th Legislative District. And there's a lot of problems with airlines right now. A lot of it has to do with some storms that were over on the East Coast. But some people are also pointing to the FAA. Were there any computer systems that were compromised as part of this because we've seen this happen in the past?
I believe that it's going to come out in the next couple of days. So right now, the initial data is it isn't. But however, also being a pilot of over 21 years for the military, flying helicopters, things like that, there's redundancies in the systems. And even the more automated we are, we have backups that are in place that we can go ahead and continue to fly safely through the FAA and even in the different airports. Pilots are trained to do this without those automated systems. And even the safety comes first and where they can go ahead and do a lot of the different contingency planning. So flying to another aircraft, going to another airport, keeping the communication up with the air traffic control so we're not running into people as well. I mean, I know that's a critical thing that people forget. That's our number one to get it out there. But it wouldn't surprise me if there's issues with their backup systems or even their other primary automated systems, because you mentioned that through Dallas-Fort Worth, a lot of different travel season. We have another big vacation holiday coming up. people are going to be concerned about what is the viability, the reliability of the data that's going on there. When our traffic control systems are up and running, are they valid? And can we make the right decisions with that? And that needs to be ensured from the government as well as private agencies. We're following, we're monitoring, and we're making sure those are reliable for everybody.
So you're an expert on air travel, on airplanes, on air mechanics, and all this kind of stuff. And Governor Jay Inslee's crew just went on over to the Paris Air Show, and yet I'm getting reports that nobody was running the booth over there that we paid a lot of money for, and they're stalling on my public disclosure requests. How much money did they drop on that sucker over there?
I couldn't tell you how much money, but there was a large contingent, and frankly, they didn't invite me. So right off the bat, I was kind of miffed. So maybe next time.
Hang on. I got to stop you right there, sir. So let me make sure I got this right. Jay Inslee and his buddies, who are all against climate change and stuff and all say carbon gases are bad and all that kind of stuff, all flew on business class, first class, private jet, something like that, over to Paris rather than do a Zoom call and didn't bring the aviation expert with them. Do I have that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
You have that correct.
Unbelievable.
Yep. And even the Senate co-chair for the aviation caucus. So that was part of my deal and working with a great leader and Representative Tom Dent in the House side of leading what we're doing in Washington State on the new fuels, the electric airplanes, these new technologies that are coming out. We weren't invited, let alone the chance of continuing that discussion on what we can do as a policy to make Washington State and stay as a leader in aviation from pre-Boeing to throughout Boeing. We want to keep those assets and the supporting efforts in all the aviation fields. And the big one, Artie, as well, is what is our workforce inspiration of the future? We have a lot of high schools in our communities that are focusing on the aerospace industry and trying to get STEM, other areas to open those doors, to reduce the burdens to successful career fields like this. And we're going to need a lot of these careers to be opened up to people in our next generation to go after aerospace and the excitement of what we're going to do next.
So then refueling midair with electric planes, is there like an extension cord you drop? How does that work exactly?
That was one of the discussions. How would you do that? And even refueling with battery sets. So people are even discussing some of that piece. Or I know there was a couple things like the home update of your charger. So think of your phone, putting it on a charger of a battery type. There's a place where you can have over the plane or near the plane a battery that can be charged in flight. So these are exciting, fascinating times that we're in. I believe it's an opportunity to where, again, Washington can lead from the front of these exciting, not just cutting edge, but these are proven technologies that we can leverage in the Air Force that we have for the future. And even into aerospace, where we can go to the stars, reconverting what airports really mean and the congestion that you see on I-5 going into SeaTac. What's the next SeaTac 2 going to look like? Where should it be? And I know that's been a hot topic for years.
Oh, that's for sure. But I'm kind of just waiting for them to figure out how to use kinetic energy as energy to recharge cars, et cetera, et cetera. And there are some amazing advancements that I've seen of that so far. But until we get there, I'm kind of not the optimist, but I'm kind of hoping to be there one day, my friend. Senator Matt Bahnke from Washington's 8th Legislative District. Thank you so much for joining us today. Really do appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the time. Happy 4th of July to you and your family.